Before the sermon, I mentioned an important book project and launch by our own USG author, Lori Tharps. Lori's here. Lori, will you quickly just stand up? Everybody turn around. Lori's right here. This book is coming off the press now. Amazon will begin delivering them on October 4th. You have to wait. I'm on my wait list with them, or I'm on their wait list. We're going to have a book signing, and Lori is going to come. This book is called Same Family, Different Colors, Confronting Colorism in America's Diverse Families. Tremendously apropos for our mission and the way we're trying to live multiculturalism, anti-oppression as an institution and people here. So that's going to be Saturday, October 22nd at 3 p.m. here, and Blue Marble will be selling books, her books. Can't wait. Who taught you about democracy? Working tenaciously for democracy, Kutso mentored me back in South Africa before he came to the U.S. to study. Kutso's name, I didn't want to tell the kids, along with other protesters, was on a police hit list. Some of his peers who had also been on the list were eventually disappeared or killed. Kutso told me he loved to dance in Wisconsin with our group because it was a good way to stop himself from crying or being paralyzed with dread. And his bravery stays in my heart forever. Teaching about democracy is a tradition that goes way back. In the 8th century BC, the prophet Isaiah enlightened people of Israel and Egypt about their plight. The land at the time was filled with horses and chariots, silver and gold. There was no end to treasure. In that context, Isaiah preached about the dangers of society's greed and injustice, leading to spiritual degradation, violence, and the breakdown of society. Sounds familiar to me. Identifying the antidote to these social ills, Isaiah's colleague Micah called upon the people. It's a good name, Micah. Micah instructed people to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with their God. 2,700 years after those Hebrew prophets, Mahatma Gandhi, a skinny brown man wearing a simple wraparound cloth, facing down the mighty white British Empire, Gandhi, said that anyone who thinks politics and religion have nothing to do with each other does not know much about either. Gandhi studied both. Religion and politics have always influenced each other. That's the way it is. And with a healthy separation of church and state, the two can be vibrant, mutually beneficial partners. That being said, I know that I'm not alone in feeling exhausted, depleted, here and now in our country, where too many people allow themselves to be tricked into the cynical use of religion. Too often, religion is contorted in service of duplicitous hate and nasty greed. Religion should bring out the best in our moral capacity, such as justice and mercy and humility. It should bring out our best in how how we are in public. Teaching about democracy is a tradition that goes way back. In the 1860s, Universalist minister Olympia Brown was among people who stood up and built structures of empowerment. As the first ordained female minister in the United States, Reverend Brown first served the Universalist Church in Weymouth Landing, Massachusetts. At that time, national leader and giant Susan B. Anthony personally persuaded Brown to work for women's right to vote. She made the case to her face-to-face and convinced her. A skilled organizer at the age of 52, Olympia Brown left full-time parish ministry to dedicate herself more completely to achieving the vote for women. This was a long, arduous project, but ultimately it was fruitful. The 19th Amendment passed in 1919, giving women the ballot. And Reverend Olympia Brown was one of the few early suffragist pioneers who was still alive to cast her own vote. Right now, we're in a season in our country where we must hold closely to our religious roots and growing a healthy democracy. With a massively important election drawing near in November, many people are actively working to promote their agendas and priorities. And we, Unitarian Universalists, and all people of good conscience, must stand up for our moral values right now, in the next weeks. There is no other time to do it if you're going to do it. Now is the time with people you interact with to stand up for your values. Now here's the thing, one important point. Most folks, when they think about Unitarian Universalists, who's that NPR, Garrison Keillor, he always likes to tell you jokes. You are simply liberals, progressives, and radicals. And many people, including us, talk about ourselves that way. It is not true. Not true. We're more complicated than that, and people, we just don't simply break down into little groups of blue and red. And we really cannot and should not categorize most of ourselves that simply. For myself, in some ways, I am truly a conservative. Truly. I'm a old school Micah guy who says, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. I'm a conservative religionist who says, pay people what they deserve. Feed people when they are hungry. I'm an old school Jesus guy who says, love one another. Love one another. People don't have to pass a litmus test to get your love. I'm a conservative religionist who says support people so they can love whom they love. And I say stop causing unnecessary pain and suffering whenever you possibly can. It's a priority if you call yourself religious. I'm a conservative religionist based in the King tradition who believes with every fiber of my being that our U.S. Constitution contains universal, innate human rights. The preamble reads, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." These are sacred concepts. Ordain is used in there, you might have noticed. These concepts deserve to be broken down and reflected upon. So let's do that for a minute. Let's notice the opening phrase is "we the people." That's the frame the next concepts come through. It's not some. It's a watchword for faith and democracy. We. It's not I, the person. It's we. So the rest of early concept coming under we, the people, establish justice for we, the people. Probably not rampant laissez-faire capitalism with huge CEO profits, but justice for we, the people. Then, pretty soon in there, this shocking phrase, promote the general welfare. Welfare, not a dirty word to pay some high-paid consultant to run a TV ad against your opponent because she used the word. Welfare. So synonyms for promote the general welfare include promote general well-being for we the people. Promote general health for we the people. Promote general success for we the people. This is using Webster's Dictionary and the Constitution. Sacred ideas. Then liberty looks like freedom to live and speak out freely, not like driving while black in America, or every cell phone and email being spied on in America, or profiling Muslim children in America, but freedom to live freely and speak out for we, the people. Of course, we have never lived this version perfectly. Never. Never come close. But living out this Constitution is our spiritual goal. This is our beacon calling us forward. Today we're called to boldly live out the tradition of democracy we've been taught because we cannot accept that 45 million are poor in the richest country in history, or that 1 in 5 children are food insecure. Unacceptable. We cannot accept wages that don't provide for a decent life. If you work full-time at places like Wendy's or Walmart, it should be illegal that you're living in poverty. It just shouldn't be right, or we just gotta change it. It's unacceptable. Workers should be able to organize and bargain collectively. We cannot accept that 1 in 3 black men born today can expect to spend time in prison, nor that our country holds up to 1/4 of the world's prison population, but only 1/20 of its total population. That's not democracy. Can't accept endless wars which spend lives and resources only to destroy lives and resources. Now, we don't all agree on all these issues. Of course, it's fine. And we won't fix all these things right away. We know that. Those are givens. But these are important issues where faith and democracy intersect. It's going to be hard and difficult, but we have to go at it. Universalist minister Olympia Brown's daughter, Gwendolyn, spoke of the discomfort caused by her mother's leadership. Listen to these words Gwendolyn said of her mother, the suffragist. She was not popular. She represented an unfashionable church and promoted a cause regarded as certain to be unsuccessful. She was troublesome because she asked people to do things, to work, contribute, think, and declare themselves openly as favoring a principle. I think we are called to follow the model of Reverend Olympia Brown. Sounds to me like what we all need to be trying to do in our own context. Reverend Barber, who's the head of the Moral Mondays movement, his daughter is a physician, and they talk a lot about how religion and medicine intersect, and they both agree that America has a heart problem. It's like a heart patient. It's sure gonna require some indomitable will, which will seem troublesome to many, to get the heart back to health. We're not going to fix our problems with a Dance with the Stars popularity contest, and we're not going to fix our problems as people pleasers. When the heart is not working properly, sometimes it requires a level of shock to the system. And Reverend Barber says we're called to be the moral defibrillators of our time. the moral defibrillator. That is not a pleasant experience for anybody who's ever seen that happen, or if you've had it to yourself. It's you're not in a good situation to start with. Well, we're working out of here at USG if you're new, and we're not always popular because of it. I guarantee, now we're in a little bubble here in Mount Airy, but we're not popular everywhere. We are playing a part in reviving the heart of our democracy. Different ways, different efforts. Many of us are working for health care that really works for all. Immigrant and LGBT rights and safety. We're reviving the heart of our democracy by helping people get a chance at real jobs after returning to their communities from prison. Not always popular. We're resisting the proliferation of military-style weapons in our country. That will be better for everyone, including our police officers, who deserve more safety as well. Everybody, it's a dangerous job wearing blue. Everybody's in danger with all this gun violence. It's insane. In July, we participated in Black Lives Matter rally outside the Democratic Convention. In October, we're hosting a forum here, Black Lives Matter panel. We've invited public officials, people from the district's attorney office, police officers, community organizers, clergy. Mark your calendar, October 26th. It's going to be a very important event. Bring people. We are working in public vigils outside an immigration detention center in Berks County. Over 30 women and their 50 children from Central America who applied for asylum are being held without due process of the law. They are not being given a course or a remedy to deal with their situation applying for asylum. We are with people saying this is not right. You don't have to agree with everything I'm saying, but just know these things matter. So we have to focus now, all of us, on voter registration. Anywhere you can do it. We have organizations that are listed every week now in our social justice efforts. If you want to get involved in helping every citizen possible vote, we have places that can train you and equip you and get you out. It matters. And then we're going to get out the vote. I grew up in Chicago, where we say vote early and vote often. I am not saying that in the pulpit today. I am not saying vote multiple times, but I am saying register to vote by October 11th and get everyone you know to do that, and then go out and vote in November. If you know anyone who cannot get to the polls, tell us. This church will help anyone get to the polls, and just tell people vote, 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 vote. We cannot give up on the heart of our democracy. Not now, not ever. Nobody talk about going to Canada. The heart of the United States must be revived with the power of love, mercy, and justice. I ask you today, is there a heart in this church? Is there a heart in this church?
Yes.
Is there somebody in here with a heart for the poor and the vulnerable?
Yes.
Is there somebody in here with a heart for the United States of America?
Yes.
Okay then, let's fight the power with the power of love, and do not forget to dance on the way.
Amen.
Amen.